Okay, we'll begin by chanting the whole Shikshastakam at my pace. Chito darpana marjanam bhava mahadevagni nirvapanam shaya kairaiva chandrika vataranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam burivardhanam pratipadam punam ritasvadhanam sarvatma snapanam param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatvarpitani Matasmaranena Kala Etajasi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrisham Vihajani Nanuraga Chanadapi Sunichena Tororivasahishnana Amanina Madhanena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoita Kitvai Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam mam vishame bhavam budhau Kripaya tabapada pankaja Stuta dhuli sadrisham vichintaya Nayanam galarasadaya Vadanam gagadaya radaya gira Pulakai vichitam dhupukada Tamagrama gahani bhavishyati Yugayatam nameshena chaksusa parashayatam sunyayatam jagatsarvam govindaya varahiname ashlishyava pararatam panastumam adarshanam mamahatam karotuva yatatata vabatatatu lampate Mat prana nata sananeva. Okay, somebody read the first verse and then the second.
Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of the fear of birth and death. The Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds of millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate and I have no attraction for
you. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and one should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth.
O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet.
O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name?
O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence.
I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally.
Okay. Okay. First up, as I mentioned before, this is considered probably the most important verse in our tradition, because what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? Who can say what is the goal?
To love Krishna.
What?
To love Krishna.
Yeah, that's the goal. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Artha means the goal or what is value. Mahan means the greatest. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The greatest goal is prema, and this is specifically the verse. Yeah, you can put that up here if you want. That is specifically the verse that Lord Chaitanya gave to his associates, specifically stating that this is the way to give prema. And this verse here, Trinada P, it describes the limit of humility. And we'll learn in our tradition that humility and prema are almost the same thing. True humility, not just a mental conception, but the feeling of humility, is very akin to the feeling of love of Godhead in one heart. So I'll just give one exercise here. Humility test. Okay? What do you want others to believe about you? Honest. Don't try to give the right answer. What do you do to get them to believe it? Why do you do this? And why is it important for you to believe this about yourself? It's a very deep, eternal, an internal thing, what actual humility is. So really, this class is really going to discuss this point, and I think it will leave it open to a lot of discussion. I just wrote, I hope everyone hears on my Monday morning greetings. And I just wrote one called Seeing is Believing. And, you know, I'm in Colombia. My Spanish is really going to get pronounced that too. I'm in Colombia. And, wow, it's so nice. What a program. 5:30, Mangal Arti, then chanting Japa. Then 7 o'clock, I do my deity worship. Then I have mango, papaya, sapote, different types of fruit. And then I take my walk. And I go out the gate, and then I walk to this beautiful park, walk around the lake. Then I come back, and we come back to our ashram. If you walk another 10 yards, there's a gate, and that gate opens up into like a horse farm or something like that. And I was exploring, and I walked by this little goshala, and I found these cow pastures. I mean, so idyllic. And the cows were so affectionate. The cows immediately came up to us without fear. And we were massaging the cows. There are three ways to worship a cow. For from the Gautamiya Tantra. Priya, what are the three ways to worship a cow? Okay, I'll tell you, but you won't forget now, okay? And you write it down. You can feed the cow, you can circumambulate the cow, and you can massage the cow. So you're massaging the cow. And then we went to the gate to get out. Then I met this farmer. You'll read about it on Monday, but... He just, and I have a picture of him too, a cowboy takes care of the cows. He was so peaceful. And I had like this epiphany, because somehow or other you read things so many times, but unless you see them embodied, it's really hard to understand them. So I saw Prabhupada's whole social philosophy just looking at this one person. That he has the goal. The goal is happiness. The goal is peace. And I saw how connected the way he lived was to peace. With the cows and the land. But the point that even struck me more is how it's difficult to understand philosophy sometimes, because we project so many of our own conceptions on it. We filter things through our own mind. And one of the concepts that we filter through our own mind is humility. And it's really hard to see the strength of humility unless you see someone that actually has it. This is my kind of realization. So a lot of times this concept of humility is a little difficult to understand, because we see things that look like humility but are... disintegrating. For example, low self-esteem. It looks like humility, but it doesn't lead to the kind of happiness and prame of humility. Or codependence, where someone is really just surrendered to someone else, but we see that it doesn't actually have a healthy... So to really understand this concept of humility is actually the essence of Krishna consciousness. It begins with humility, you move by humility, it ends in humility. St. Augustine, the great Christian theologian, he said that there are three most important things in spiritual life and the realization of God. Okay, so Priya, you can write down 1, 2, 3, I'm going to tell you what they are. The first one is humility. Okay? The second one is humility. And the third one is humility. So it's really foundational. And that's why in this particular verse, Lord Chaitanya hasn't said this about any other verse. Lord Chaitanya said we should wear this verse around our neck. And one great saint in our tradition, I told this the last time I was here, a godbrother of mine, I was quite close to him, named Kormarupa, a great saint Prabhupada disciple that worshipped the cows in Vrindavan in an unparalleled way. And he was very not mental. When he thought something was right, he did it. Mental is all the other calculation, what will it mean for me? When you're off the mental plane, it's what is right. What is right, I do. Right, what is right, I do. I remember when he would wake up in the morning, you know how we do? The alarm wakes, or like 5 more minutes, like zip into the bed a little bit. He was like, this was him, when it was time to get up. No mental play. So when he heard that verse, he put that verse, he tattooed it around his neck. And so we're going to analyze that verse today from the Shikshastakam. And I think first, so we should have a lot of discussion, because these points should be understood. But I think first what we do is just do a little summary of the Shikshastakam quickly, because some of you have been to this class before. But it's the only verses that Lord Chaitanya wrote, even though he was a great scholar. Even though he was a great scholar, he only left 8 verses. And they weren't even particularly ordered. They weren't even particularly ordered until the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he kind of had a revelation about them, which was really interesting. It was the end of Lord Chaitanya's life, and he was achieving the internal reason for his descent. Lord Chaitanya had an external reason for his descent, and he had an internal reason for his descent. The external reason is why he came for others, and the internal reason is why he came for himself. And why he came for himself is because he wanted to relish the highest happiness, which is the highest love, which is found in the heart of his devotee, not only the heart of his devotee, but his topmost devotee, Sri Radha. And not only his topmost devotee, Sri Radha, but Sri Radha's experience of love at the height of her love, which was in the mood of separation for Krishna. So, and he fulfilled that at the end of his life. And he began to chant Hare Krishna and become absorbed in the holy name. And we know that if we have faith and we open the consciousness in humility to an experience, the experience of God, and we feel the emanation of transcendental pleasure coming off his body, and we imbibe that to the fullest degree in our heart, that was his goal. And we see at the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he was actually beginning to experience that. Madhavi, why don't you just switch places with her so the child would be behind you and she could be against the wall, okay? All right. All right, anyway. Yeah. That's good, thank you. Priya, move up a little bit. All right. So he began to achieve it. And then there are symptoms of prema. Prema becomes overwhelming in the body. Because what happens is that you're so affected by your contact with God that it just like emotion can be very powerful. We all have emotions that affect the body. But there's no more powerful emotion than love of Godhead. So it begins to affect the body. It first affects the mind. And the mind, it starts to, the prana or the life airs, the prana begins to become discharged, it's a very interesting thing. According to the emotion and the experience, the prana becomes agitated, and it lodges or it affects different of the core material elements in your body. So it affects the water element, then one begins to cry, like Ganga river comes out of his eyes. If it affects the earth element, one becomes stunned. If it affects the air element, one begins to shake. And so there's all kinds of symptoms, and according to the intensity. It's a very interesting thing. And the degree of ecstasy would be measured by the amount of ecstatic symptoms that were being disturbed, the intensity of them, the pervasiveness of them, and the duration of them. You could be trembling for a short time or a long time or an intense time or pervading all over the body. So when all of these, what they're called astika sattvika bhavs, when all the emotions and all the symptoms are heightened to the highest degree, that manifestation of love is only felt in Srimati Radharani and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what he came, and he started to experience it. We know that even a drop of that love can inundate or drown us. A drop of that love is higher than anything we can experience in the world. And he's drowning in that love. And he's just so overwhelmed. Sometimes he's banging his head against the wall because it's an emotional state. And when you become overcome with an emotional state, it supersedes your intelligence and your direction and your discrimination. And he starts to, he's in so much separation. Because love, when you have love, the side effect is you are is a separation. And he's scraping his face against the wall. And then sometimes in ecstasy, his bones become dislocated. And there's like skin in between the joint here. And this incredible. And then sometimes, like a tortoise, all his limbs go inside his body. These things are described. So he's actually experiencing the highest type of love. And then he begins to reflect, what is the cause of this? How do you get this love? And how did I achieve this love? And he begins to meditate that it's by Sankirtan. It's by chanting the holy name. Completely. Quantitatively, completely, with others, with instruments, for others. And in that mood of remembering this, he begins to glorify the holy name and describe how the holy name elevates the consciousness systematically through different stages of devotion. And he describes this through 8 verses, and it's the only 8 verses he gave because it is the essence of his teachings. The essence of his teachings is to attain love of Godhead, and love of Godhead is attained by chanting the holy name. And he describes this. We know even the main teachings of Krishna are the Bhagavatam. Our whole philosophy is based on the Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam is Nam Sankirtan. I actually did this Kirtan seminar in the island of Ish in Croatia. Beautiful, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. Just a small island with a retreat center. And you know me, I'd rather stay in my room than go outside. I mean, idyllic, just give me walls and some books and a place to chant. You know, some people, I know, when I used to visit Professor Brian, he had 2 acres of land, and he always say to me, he said, wonderful though, he used to cook prasadam. He said, yeah, you want to take lunch? Should we take like outside or inside? And I went, oh, outside. Simple, no bugs, nothing. Yes. So you're too, Gil, right? Simple, people love the. So I'm not an outdoors person, born in Brooklyn, the famous book about Brooklyn, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, famous book. It was a big event. But this was so beautiful. It was on the Adriatic Sea that after the morning program, I just dive into the sea. It was so beautiful. But I'm there. Satchinandana Swami is leading the retreat. He asked me to give, he said, because it was his retreat, 20 minutes here. 20, he said, give on the Nam Kirtan, the essence of the Bhagavad. I wrote an article about that to actually show by classical, what's called hermeneutics, that means interpretation of Shastra. How do you know what something means? Because it's not always understandable on face value. So how do you understand what something means? You have to look at it in context. You have to see what's said first, what's said last, what's repeated, what's declarative. So many different things. So I went through the Bhagavatam like this, and it was very, very clear. The first thing that is said, the first instruction is Harinam Anukirtanam. The peerless method of success for all is chanting the holy name. And the very last verse of the whole Bhagavatam says Nam Sankirtan. So this was the mission. So in that ecstasy, in that realization, he chants the first verse, which shows the glories of the holy name, the glories of Sankirtan. And he gives the seven symptoms of that. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam, it cleans the mirror of the heart. Bhava Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam, it extinguishes the fire of material existence. Shreya Karayava Chandikaranam, and it's so auspicious that it opens your heart in auspiciousness. Like the holy, just like the moon shines on a lotus and the beautiful white lotus opens up. The holy name shines on one's heart and the devotion opens up. The most auspicious thing, Shreya Shritim Bhaktim. The most auspicious thing is to have bhakti. Why? Because what's the best thing? The best thing is happiness. And happiness is devotion. So he explains all those glories. And then he begins to reflect further on those glories. We're going to get to today's verse, but he reflects on those glories. And how glorious is the holy name? By the way, Madhavi, have you seen the Prabhupada Hare Krishna film yet?
No, I want to see it.
You have to see it. It was so great yesterday. It was amazing. This theater, I thought, you know, Village East Theater, some like dive or something, you know. You walk in and it's like this ornate, like they don't do it anymore. And, you know, the beautiful balconies and it was such a beautiful setting. You know, Prabhupada was talking. You know, someone interviewed him, you know, is it only the name of Krishna? He said, no. In your religion, whatever name of God you chant. And that's the Shikshastik. And Prabhupada is quoting from Shastra. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda. There's unlimited names. Why are there unlimited names? There's unlimited names because there are unique. God is a person, and a person manifests in many, many different ways. And each people have unique relationships. Like somebody is a mother. The son sees the lady as a mother. The mother sees the same lady as a child. And a name is appropriate to inspire that relationship and awaken that love, right? If the child goes to the mother, how you doing, dear? How you doing, honey? It doesn't have the same effect. So God is merciful, so he appears like we appear. We have many facets, many different aspects of ourselves, and many names that are appropriate for people who love us in those relationships. So God has unlimited names. And you know, it's so beautiful, Nija Sarva Shaktis. Nija Sarva Shaktis means, and they have Nija Sarva, all powers. That means they're not different than God, so God's names are not different from him. So how great, we'll do it like kind of like modern type. How great is that? God has unlimited names. They all have this potency. And Tatarpita niyamata smarane nakala, and there's no time smarane for remembering. There's no hard and fast rules. There's no, most spiritual processes, there is some preparation. Even when we do deity worship, you just don't go in and worship the deities. And not anyone can just go worship the deities. And even if you're qualified, you just can't go in and worship deities. You have to do Buddha Shuddhi. You have to adopt a spiritual identity. You can't worship the deities in your present identity, material identity. So how do you adopt a spiritual identity? Two ways. There's a verse you chant. Naham vipra chanara patir vaishno nasu. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. I'm not. It's your meditation. I'm not this, I'm not this. What up? Gopi bartu patakamala dasa dasa anadasa. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the lover of the gopis. Or you do guru puja and you worship guru. Meaning identity, I am not the center, I am servant of someone. This is a different identity. I'm not the center of the world, I'm the servant of someone. I'm the servant of God. Our identity is dasa, dasa, anudasa. So I'm the servant of the servant of God. And in that consciousness, so there are rules and cleanliness and bathing. If you really do it properly, it's so hard. Even if you pass air, you got to bathe and wash your clothes in the traditional strictness. But the holy name, Tatarpita Smarane, is no time, no hard and fast rules. So Lord Chaitanya, he's becoming overwhelmed because he is chanting this name and he's feeling the mercy of that name. But then he says, Durdaivam Indrisam, Etadrasi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi. But you have mercy. You have mercy. Etadrasi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi. But Bhagavan, oh God, you are so merciful. Durdaivam. Durdaivam, idrisam, ihajani, not, but durdaivam, I have bad destiny. Durdaivam is destiny. Dur means difficult. I have difficult destiny. I have bad destiny. I am so unfortunate. Why? Ihajani, born of me, nanu raga, there is no attraction. Of course, this is the beginning of spiritual life, because when you recognize that you are not entitled or qualified for something you are getting, you feel love. And when you feel entitled or qualified for what you are getting, you feel no love. And what do you feel entitled or qualified for? Something you pay for. Here, I paid my money. Give it to me. Do you feel love when you go into a shop and buy something really expensive and you have to pay for it? And it's so beautiful. It's so nice. But did that communicate love to you? But when someone comes and gives you like a gift, something like beyond what you ever expected, that's love. That's love. So the feeling of love requires two things. Because love is exchanged. In receiving something, you have to have two feelings. One, this is so great, I haven't paid for it. And the greater it is, and the less you paid for it, the more you'll feel love. the same item, right? Like Narayan, when you're 17, right, and Gopa comes to you and says, Narayan, you know, we're getting you a car. You know, it's Maharaj now is getting old, so I'm buying his car for you, his 1998 Toyota Corolla. I'm giving you the car, but you will have to work and on the lawns every weekend for a year to pay for it. Right? But Kishori comes to you and says, Narayan, here, go outside. I got you a new BMW. Right? Can you just give me a hug? Right? What? What's that? What'd you say?
Sounds about right.
What's that?
Sounds about right.
Oh, man, you made it this political now? That's terrible. You committed offenses. I just was using it. I could have did the other way around. Just see, Gopa, right? Just any little opening, right? Bam. Okay, you're so tolerant, though. But anyway, you get the idea. So really, when you get the gift of God and you realize what the holy name is, you realize the association of devotees, you realize the mercy you're getting, that you actually have something that can touch your heart and give you what everyone was always hankering for, and there's no hard and fast rules, and it's given for free, and it's non-different from God. And Lord Chaitanya is feeling this. And that's how love comes. That's why in the Upadeshamrita, the things favorable for bhakti is that you have faith and you have patience. And what is your faith and patience? Your faith and patience is, this is so good that this little suffering that I'm undergoing in between, it's a small price to pay. It's a small price to pay. I'm going through this difficulty, I'm going through this trouble now, but God is giving me himself, it's a small price to pay. You'll feel loved, but if you say, why is this happening to me? You know, why is God not being merciful and allowing me to be the enjoyer and controller? So this is what happens, it's set up. And then this word durdaivam is very important. Unfortunate, what's the misfortune? The misfortune is the offenses, the offenses that we commit, the anarthas, the unwanted things that we commit, that's the durdaivam. The durdaivam, the greatest misfortune is not appreciating the holy name and therefore not respecting it in the proper way. Beginning, not respecting those people who are giving the holy name. So that's the misfortune. And that's the offense. And it's so difficult to avoid offense. And it's offense that separates us from the holy name. The reason why we're not experiencing the holy name is because even though God is there in the holy name, he's a little hesitant to open his heart because we have offense. And that's, see, everything is personal in the world. God is a person. And a person reveals themselves in love. So according to your attitude or approach towards God in the holy name is the extent that God will reveal himself in the holy name to you. And you will feel that ecstasy. Therefore, we have to avoid offenses. We have to avoid offenses. And how do you avoid offenses? You see, if you do that one thing, you can avoid offense. You do that one thing, your spiritual life prospers. We have to be a little careful, Kishori. You don't want to commit offenses there. your spiritual life, that's it. It's just the... It's simple. I remember reading this. I can't find the reference. Bhakti is easy. What's difficult is avoiding the offenses. So now you're separated from prema by your offenses. So how do you avoid offenses? What will protect you from offenses? And therefore get prema bhakti. Because you see, in the Haridas Thakur says, Tara medye sarva shreshne nama sankirtan nara aparade poya paiprem. Of all the practices of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. And if you can do it without offense, nira aparade poya paya premadan, you will get prema. So here he is, Durdaivam, I'm unfortunate, I commit offenses. Well, that's good, because you're humble now. But how do you avoid, what's the protection from avoiding offenses? The protection for avoiding offenses is humility. And the acharyas say, just as the eyelids protect the eyes from the offense of the dust, so humility will protect our soul and our consciousness from offense. Because all offense, it's born out of some kind of false ego and some pride. So this verse is the key. Now, I want to mention how important this verse is. That it's mentioned three times. It's mentioned three times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the biography of Lord Chaitanya, and which is the most relishable book, because it's the book that Prabhupada carried with him on the Jaladuta. It's Rasika. And what Rasika means, it means it's just this expression and description of the highest love. So in the Adi Lila, this one brahmachari comes to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya wants to give him mercy. So Lord Chaitanya wants to give him mercy and explain him about Krishna consciousness. He says, explain to me about Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya says to him, Hari Nama eva kevalam kalo nasteva gatiranyata. He said, There's no other way but chanting the holy name. And then he says to him, and this is the way you should chant that holy name. And then he quotes this verse. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the name constantly. And then he tells him, wear this verse around your neck, lift up your hands, and declare it boldly. And I told this story before. You know, when I grew up in Vrindavan and Krishna conscious, I was fortunate that many of Prabhupada's godbrothers were still alive. And we'd have various degrees of relationships. And even after Prabhupada left, some of his godbrothers were still alive. So there was one favorable godbrother named Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, who was very close with Prabhupada. And he was a preacher, and he was like powerful. So I was invited to a function. His temple overlooked Seva Kunj, where the Rasalila, Krishna's Rasa dance is. Any of you, you're invited to come. If you haven't come, I will show you these things. It's amazing. And I walked in, he just finished his morning bhajan. And he was so excited, he looked up to me and he said, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always, always chant. Now, the second time that this is mentioned is very, very significant, because there was the six Goswamis, and one was the Priyojana Acharya. Priyojana means the goal, which is prema. So he was the Acharya. There's three aspects of Krishna consciousness. One is called Sambandha. Basically, Sambandha is what is your description of reality? Every philosophy has to have the description of reality. Abhideya means the means. How do you realize reality? Every philosophy has to have a description of that. And Priyojana, which means what is the goal? Our goal is the experience of reality, which is God, which is prema, because reality is God. God is a person, and the energy between two people is called love. And the original love and the existential love and the most powerful love is that feeling with God. And that's called prema, and that's overwhelming because it's God's love. Love is an emotion. So what is the love of God? What is the real experience of love of God? It is the most overwhelming, joyous, pleasurable feeling that one could ever imagine. And it's what we want. We don't want to feel how we kind of feel now. We want that overwhelming our hearts. That's the goal. And that's why Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Namo maha badanyaya, Krishna prema pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, because he's given this freely. That's the glory. And when we saw that film, if you haven't seen that film, you got to see that film. It's like amazing. It was just so relishable. And suited for anyone. You know, it's not, you know, just like you don't have to be, you know, a Christian to see a documentary of St. Francis of Assisi. It may be exciting, spiritual people. So it's very exciting. But what is it? He's giving this with confidence. So the story of Raghunath Das, which is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is very interesting. He's the son of the richest man in West Bengal. And his father and uncle are so rich that to protect the Vaishnavas from the Mughal rulers, they basically rent a district in West Bengal where the Vaishnavas will be safe. And he's their son. But he's depressed. And why is he depressed? Because he's very advanced. You see, when he was young, this great saint, Haridas Thakur, the Namachari, used to be in his village. So he used to go, and he used to sit with Haridas Thakur, who was chanting Shudanam. What is Shudanam? When one has like pure love, and he chants the holy name in reciprocation with that person, pure love, the name, which is a person, reveals himself fully. So if you hear the pure name from someone, it has a tremendous effect on your consciousness. It has a tremendous effect on your consciousness. So he really has this. You know, everybody has a different level of spiritual evolution. About 20 years ago, 25 years ago when, it couldn't be that long, she's not that old, but when 25 years ago when Gail came to Krishna consciousness, and I was working in New Jersey in the temple there, and we started a Shastra program for men and women. And one of my ideas is people don't know their level of spiritual evolution until they live like in an ashram and have a chance to experience that. So we had like a 6-month program and we studied the Shastras. And then at the end of 6 months, people can graduate, but some people would see, wow, you know, I think I can do this even more. But some people really are the real things. They are so dedicated and love God, and it's maybe not us, it's many, many, many lifetimes, that they're not meant for material life at all. We're not against material life if you need material life. And why would someone need material life? Because they have desires to fulfill to become peaceful. So Krishna consciousness is a very nice process. We don't say don't give up your material life, but use it for Krishna consciousness. But some people don't need it. It's very, very rare. But somehow his karma, he was born in this family, and he was the only son. And one thing about Indian families in general, they can be very, very pious, like more than Western people, like very, very pious, but much more attached to family. Much more attached to family than Adorno. They're just so attached to family. And a child taking sannyas, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he was 16, he wanted to join the Krishna conscious movement. He couldn't even drive. His parents drove him to the temple. you know, whatever makes you happy. You're going to think, Indians are going to say that? Yeah, I'm going to take some, I'm going to join the temple. Whatever makes you happy. No, how will you earn? We're practical people. So even though they were so great devotees, they were such great devotees, they were, you know, against it. To the extent that his mother said he's going to run away any moment, chain him up. Father says, chain him up. I chained him with a wife more beautiful than the goddess of fortune and more wealth than Indra. But anyway, somehow he eventually, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, wow, you know, he said, I'm taking full shelter. He said, this is my most confidential associate, Srup Damodar. He'll instruct you. But then Raghunath Das said, and he's going to become the Priyojanacharya, the teacher for Prema Bhakti. So he goes, he says, Srup Prabhu, Srup Maharaj, I just want to go to Lord Chaitanya and ask him something directly. So he goes to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya says to him, well, you don't need to come to me. I've already put you under Srup Damodar. He can answer any of your questions. And he knows more than me. He's more learned than me. But then Lord Chaitanya thinks about it. He said, but if you want to know what is the sadhaka and the sadhya, if you want to know what is the practice and what is how to achieve that practice, okay, here is the sadhana, sadhya, tattva. Tattva means the science, the truth of practice and the truth of the goal. If you want, okay, here it is, I'll give it to you. And Lord Chaitanya looks at him and says, Trinahara Pihisuni Chena. Tororapi sihishnana amanina madhanena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name. So he gave this mandate. You want prema? Then humility, tolerance, respect, and constant chanting. Humility, tolerance, respect, and constant chanting. You want to do that? You will avoid offenses. Lord Chaitanya said to him, one should build a strong wall of humility and protect one's vine of devotion by giving honor to others around it and sprinkling the vine with the waters of chanting and hearing. I'll read it again. One should build a strong wall of humility and protect one's vine of devotion by giving honor to others around it, sprinkling the vine with the waters of chanting and hearing. O Sarup, Ramananda Roy, listen to the characteristics of not... This is what he says just before he gives this verse to his most confidential associates in front of Raghunath Das to give him instruction. Listen to the characteristics, to the kind of Nam Kirtan by which prema awakens. You see, because, again, when you're humble, what's going to invoke those feelings of love in your heart? Mercy. Mercy is God's way to inspire love within your heart. And again, mercy can only be felt with a sense of humility and appreciation for what you are, before what is being bestowed upon you out of mercy. So you won't feel God's mercy if you're not humble. And if you're humble, you'll feel mercy. And what happens when you feel mercy? Love will awaken in your heart. And what happens when love awakens in your heart? You can chant all the time. Because love is pleasure. And if you have love, you can chant. Every other activity you do for something else. If you do karma, you want to get to heaven. Karma is no fun. The swaha. And I remember I was so relieved. You know, I remember in India, you know, I had this very great saint. His name is Yadananda Swami. He's a sannyasi in our movement. He's like, if you would look at like a classic Christian saint, he's like from Spain. So we're looking for someone to do the yajna. I was initiating these people from Iran, these two people from Iran. No, it was Ladini Radha. Remember, she came here, Ladini Radha, and I was initiating her. And he did the yajna. It was so simple, just the basic things. I thought, great yajna. It's when the swaha, swaha, Vishnu yajna, swaha, swaha, Vaishnav yajna, swaha, swaha, Vita, swaha, swaha. And I'm going, man, when is this going to end? This is so boring. Karma. It's the result. Jnana. You do all the austerities. That's no fun. Moksha is fun. But bhakti has no goal. Bhakti is sasukam kartam avyam. Bhakti is pleasure. It has no goal. Why does bhakti have no goal? You're not doing it for any reason. If you do it for some reason, it's not bhakti. If you're doing this because you want to get something for anyone, it's not bhakti, it's flattery. Bhakti is causeless. And therefore, bhakti is full of intense... Bhakti is pleasure in itself. So when you have this humility, you will feel mercy, love will be in your heart, and you can chant constantly. Without that sense in the heart of some sense of humility, some sense of regret, healthy regret, something that I need mercy. What does that mean? If you need mercy, you are seeing your lack. And unless you have that feeling in your heart, that feeling enables you to have the love and emotion that makes it pleasurable. And without that, it just becomes a chore. Don't get depressed. It's a process. So now let us discuss What is humility? Because this verse is the limit of humility. Offering all respects to others. Wanting no respect in return. Thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. More tolerant than the tree. There's a famous saying in Bengal, and it goes something like this. When I heard about the prema dharma of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I wanted to become his follower. But when I heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's third verse of the Shikshastakam, I knew it was impossible. Humility. Prabhupada said the process is simple, the application is difficult. Why is the application, why is the process simple? Anyone could do it. We saw Boy George in the film yesterday, right? Bow down, mister. Boy George came to Vrindavan. George Harrison also came to Vrindavan. And when we were taking prasadam together, George Harrison led the kirtan. While we were taking prasadam in the temple, George Harrison led the kirtan. I was also in Mayapur when George Harrison came. I didn't know he had come. But it wasn't the temple we had now. But I was in front of the altar. And they at that time, they had like this little wood, you know, like those gates that you have, like cordoned off for the Maharajas. So I was only the Maharaj, and I had my big stick. When you're a sannyasi, you get a big stick. And then when you're dancing during the Mangal Arati, it looks like there's windshield wipers before the deities. All the sannyasis, you know, you're trying to look through all the... I always stay in the back, you know, all the back. But so I was there in the front, you know, my windshield wiper in front of the deities. You know, and there weren't that many people at that time in the temple. There weren't that many people in the temple. And I look back in Mangal Arati. And who's in Mangal Arati? George Harrison. So then afterwards we worship Tulsi, right? So I give George Harrison the water in his hand to wash his hand. But if you don't tell people what the water is for, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know to put it on their head or drink it. But then afterwards he wanted a tour and I was invited to go on the tour, Jayapataka myself. I'll just tell my George Harrison story. You want to hear it? Okay?
Yes.
All right, I'll tell it. Okay, here's the George Harrison story. He is into horticulture. He's into plants, gardens. It's his hobby. So we go all the way around Mayapur. And at that time, there was this guy who was the greatest genius in the world in horticulture. But he was an unusual character. He was a beatnik. This is before hippies. He was a beatnik. Everything they say, they end with daddy-o. That's how they would speak. Daddy-o. That it's like a beatnik. So he's like a beatnik, but he was a devotee now. And he had these Jagannath and Baladev tattoos on his arms. But he was incredibly, what Mayapur was there, the gardens of Mayapur, one of the eighth wonders of the world. And he was so expert that, you know, in India, the vegetables cost according to their rarity, like anything, supply and demand. So if you get the first crop of vegetables, the price is higher than when it's in the season. He would have a way of intensive farming that they would come 2 or 3 weeks before everybody else. Professors from all over India were visiting him. So he was showing George Harrison. And anytime George Harrison asked for a plant, he would point his finger and would give the Latin name in his New York accent. He would go, you know this plant? And he would go, Asadophilus, Afadophilus, Daddy, and then he'd point it. Then George Harrison would ask for another plant, and he'd go, you know, Lusa Afaducilus, Daddy, and boom, he would point to the plant, and he'd be pointing to all the plants. And then at the very end, I was right with them, And then George Harrison said to him, look, this summer I'll send you a ticket. And Hawaii, I have a big estate. You can do my gardening. I'll pay you. You know, I'll pay for the ticket, you know, when it's hot here. And he looked at George Harrison, and he said in beatnik language, I can translate it for you afterwards. He said, I got bucks in the bank. He looked at George Harrison, Daddy, I got bucks in the bank and grapes in the cupboard. All I could want is more devotion. Bucks in the bank means I got money, and grapes in the cupboard means I got food. Daddy-o, daddy. I got daddy. So, why was it mentioning George Harrison? Does anybody know I got lost there?
Because anybody could take devotion.
What?
Boy George movie. Anybody can get some devotion.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I really got way off, right? I went from Boy George to George Harrison. And I don't know, I could have went to, like, King George. I don't know. I'll tell a story about King George. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he respected the King of England. He wasn't for the independence movement, because all he cared about was Krishna consciousness. And the British king was very favorable to let them spread Krishna consciousness, so he didn't care about a government change. And when King George died, his picture was on the front page of the magazine, The Harmonist. And Prabhupada came to me and said, well, I'm a Gandhi man, and Bhaktisiddhanta said, and no one's going to listen to India till they're free. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Krishna consciousness is not dependent on an ecclesiastical change. It's not dependent on a change of government. We think change of, not going to depend on a change of government. It's so urgent, we have to take it now. Okay, now, humility. This is the limit. What's the difference between humility and a lack of self-esteem? I once gave a lecture on that. I'm just going to read my notes, what I wrote. I think maybe you'll find it interesting. I said this is what I thought the difference was. What? Oh, here. I said, low self-esteem is grief about not being great, although we want to. Humility is happiness about not being great, because you don't want to. Humility, I described it as happy small. And I gave the example of happy small. A child in the arms of their mother. Because the child realizes that the mother is the shelter and the protector. So the child's feeling of love is being small. The child's feeling of love, because they are small, the child's feeling of love is, you are my maintainer, you are my protector. That is the child's feeling of love. They're happy in that. Why? Because that's the natural position. And I give you the example, a child never says, you know, let go of me. Who do you think you are? What? I want to be independent. Let go. So like God is like putting us in his arms. We're just very tiny and small. We have his shelter. And humility is, I'm happy. I don't want to be the mother. I want to be the child. A real child who's feeling love from their mother always wants to feel like a baby. In India, you see this. You'll see a grown man. He takes care of his older mother, and he's a child before her. It's that motherly love he's relishing. And the mother's love is, I am your maintainer. So the more you So it's beautiful. It's natural. It's natural, that love. And therefore, someone who's humble, they want that. The key to humility is not like a bravado or an insignificance. Or humility, the beginning of humility is happy to be ruled by something higher than oneself. That's it. Happy, and lack of humility is, I you know, that I am the authority, and I am happy when others are under me. And or I feel bad that I'm not in that position, but that's what I want. That's low self-esteem. But humility is, I accept. I'm happy. Why? Because that's what I am. Don't get distressed that you're not God. It's not happening. You're not God. You're part of God. It's okay. Just accept it. It's beautiful. Don't get all hung up. What? This is unfair. Why am I not omniscient and powerful and controlling the world? Why am I not the president of the United States? Or Russia? Why? No, humility. It's beautiful. I want to serve. I know one girl, I saw it from her past life. Now she's in her 20s. And her samskar, she always wanted shelter. Always wanted that. So, who has heard of C.S. Lewis? I love his quote, "Never are we so proud as when we are good." Because we'll appropriate anything for our false ego. It means anytime we do anything, we become proud. I love what Prabhupada said. Someone came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am the most fallen." Prabhupada said, "You're not the most anything." You're not the most anything. And codependence means that you're surrendered and you're taking a humble position. Not because you want a humble position, but because that relationship gives you power. You identify this person is, you know, handsome or beautiful. And if I'm connected with them, then I am that, or I am respected. So it all depends on that internal thing in your heart. And it's not, when you say these things, you know, we project so many other things on that, and we misunderstand it. We can be very powerful people in this world and be humble. Like Kastubha's guru, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was one of the most intelligent, powerful people you can imagine. He was such a controller, you couldn't even imagine. I could tell stories that would just shock you. But he had this humility too. Even though on the surface and his work and his nature was controlling, but he had this sense that higher than me is God and God's representative. Higher than me. And that's what rules my life. I may have a nature in this particular way and I'll use it. And it's even the way, I can't even help it. But the core under feeling is I'm surrendered to Guru and Krishna. Prabhupada himself was very bold and very strong. But what was Prabhupada's humility? I'll read it. I got these quotes. This is Prabhupada's humility. He wrote, On behalf of Krishna, I am accepting your sincere service. But on the whole, I am the servant of the servant of Krishna. Therefore, I may be in designation your spiritual master, but actually I am the servant of the servant of Krishna. And because you are seers and servants of Krishna, I am your servant. When Vibhetananda said, Prabhupada, you must be higher than the Paramahamsa stage. Prabhupada said, no, I am lower than you. I am lowest of all creatures. I am simply trying to execute the order of my spiritual master. So, now we will... Yeah, ask question, yes. Yeah.
Why would he say I'm lower than you?
Because we see things in two different ways. This is known in psychology. You can see things in three different ways. You can see it first by your instincts. That's like Russians. They got a feeling that this is what it is. Or you can see things by your emotions, how you feel about it. It's a little different than instincts. Like emotions. Oh, mamma mia. Like a little more like Italian. You know, I love. Oh, that's a tour. Bad. When I was in Italy, and I wound up in the hospital with a serious tropical disease, they thought I was going to die. I didn't think I was going to die because I'm so optimistic, but I was in a hospital. And, I mean, I was in bad shape, right? And when I got out, the Italian devotees all said, you know, we're ready, where are you? The whole yatra was like this. Maharaj, you're going to die. Maharaj, you die. Maharaj, you die. Maharaj, you're going to die. You die. Maharaj, you die. Die. You know, it's like the whole yatra. The whole yatra was like this. Maharaj, you know. And then, you know, then there's more a little bit of like maybe New York, maybe American, where, you know, is Mars going to die or is he not going to die? But if he dies, this, maybe. But maybe it's good because then he goes back to God. But then he goes back to God. Anyway, but, you know. So different people, you can look at things in different ways, right? And therefore, it's described that a Paramahamsa, he sees things from the heart. And when you see things from the heart, in your utter humility, and you see things in your heart, your utter humility, you see things through your bhav. And what's your bhav? Your bhav is that this is God, and this is me, and I've left God, and I'm so fallen. And then in that mood, you project on everyone else that they are serving Krishna better than me. You see the good in every other person and you look at them. But the Uttam Adhikarya, he has to come to the platform of Madhyam, which means discrimination. So you can gravitate between the two. You can have this feeling mood, everyone's serving Krishna better than me. But then you have to practically do service and you have to come to the platform of the intellect and say, these are disciples, these are fallen, and I have to educate them. But the core thing is to stay in that mood. So Prabhupada would stay in that mood. So now, it always takes a long introduction. We're going to go about 20 more minutes or so, and I'm going to finish it. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he went to Radha Kund, He really used to blow minds. Because, you know, first of all, sadhus never drove in cars. They never, you know, all kinds of rules for like renunciates, you know, what to speak in cars. But Bhakti Siddhanta, you know, he was preaching Krishna consciousness, and to preach Krishna consciousness, he'll engage the whole world. So when he came to Radha Kund, his disciples were driving him in a Jaguar. And then he came to Radha Kund, and then he knew that people was a lot with Sahajiyas. They had a sentimental view, artificially think they're advanced. And he didn't like that because he knew that bhakti will only come to the humble soul. So even one time he was with one of his Prabhupada's godbrothers, saw this, two brahmacharis raised their hand. Bhakti Santa answered a question. I've been in Krishna consciousness for 10 years and I don't feel anything. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati looked at him and said, good. And then walked out. So the other godbrothers go, what does he mean? What does he mean? And then they understood what he meant. He understood, better to stay real, better to stay humble. That will lead, the negative will attract the positive. And if artificially you think, Radhe, 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 I'm going to warn you Russian girls, as soon as you come to Radhakund, as soon as you come to Vrindavan, you'll see all these Russian ladies, Radhe, 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 Radhe. So they asked Bhakti Siddhanta, what is your Siddha mantra? Because you can get a mantra with your spiritual identity. It's called Ekadas Bhav. And you'll get it on a piece of paper. You're such and such Manjari, and you're 10 and a half years old, and you're... There's a thing. It's legitimate on a way, on an advanced platform, to project a particular meditation, but usually it's very sentimental. So it goes like this. So what is your Siddha mantra? And Bhakti Siddhanta said, you have a Siddha mantra? They challenged, yes, I have a Siddha mantra. They said, what is your Siddha mantra? Bhakti Siddhanta said, Chanadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnana Amanina Madhanena Kirtaniya Siddhahari. Humility, humility, humility. And it's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that it's non-different than prema. See, this is the feeling of humility. The previous verse, I'm so fallen, was the more or less the intellectual understanding. Understanding, I'm fallen, I want it. This is when you have the feeling in your heart. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, okay, so now let's just go over it really quickly. Oh, just one more thing. You have to see humility. It has to be embodied in people. And this is so important for us. If we want to teach people, we have to become it. So I read Prabhupada, how humble he was. Just two other examples, and I told, these are my two favorite stories. One, a person that I knew quite well, Dr. Fakir Mohan, one of the great Vaishnav scholars, died last year. And I had a lot of personal association with him. And when I first met him, I was like this, and he moved like this, and I moved like this. We were like, well, what's going on? I couldn't figure out what's going on. And then they told me, he will not step on someone's shadow. And then we asked him to give class, and I was there, Indradum the Swami was there, different sannyasis were there. So we wanted him to sit to give class, and before class, he bowed down, he grabbed everyone's hand, like affectionately, and said, bless me, I know nothing. He had a PhD, and he was the head of a Sanskrit department, university. He had a PhD in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And then he got a second PhD when he was 85, a D-Lit, they called a doctor of literature, and some other kind of hit. So he was the greatest scholar of Vaishnavism. Bless me, I know nothing. And the other one I like is the older Puri Maharaj, and it was a fast day in one temple, and I went to see him, and he was 101 years old. I was sitting with him, and he was bowed down. You know, he's like so old, he was like bowed like this, couldn't lift up, and he was sitting there. And we were upstairs. And then at noon, when the feast is broken, one brahmachari comes in. He's surrounded by all these Bengali brahmacharis, and everyone knows Bengalis can eat more than any other people in India. It's just, the feast is coming. Now, it's time for the feast. All the Vaishnavas must come. And I'm sitting there because I don't understand Bengali. And then I look up, and everyone stampedes out, and I see this 101-year-old man, like trying to, and then his servant is looking, what are you doing, Maharaj? You know we'll bring your food here. And then he said, so beautifully, he said, when the Vaishnavas command, I must obey. And I remember another scholar, most learned scholar in Vrindavan presently, he also died 2 years ago. He had 9 PhDs from Banari Hindu University, any subject. On his tomb, it's written Nyaya Acharya, the Acharya for logic. He was so scholarly. And then his disciple told me, they took him to the doctor, and he was so humble with the doctor. The tendency for authority, that there's something higher than me, it means knowledge. There's not, you surrender to knowledge. And there is an absolute knowledge that one surrenders to that's represented by one's teacher. And one surrenders to it. So you see, so it's so beautiful. So now we'll just go. Trinada P means more. And let's push on for another 10, 15 minutes so I can finish. Let's listen. It's great. Why lower than the straw in the street? There's a famous story, too. It's a true story that one very learned aristocratic businessman came to Vrindavan to take initiation from this very famous saint. The very famous saint said, he said, I want initiation. I want initiation. He said, yes, I'll initiate you, but you have to do one thing. Find one person or thing in Vrindavan that's lower than you in every single way. So somehow he kind of looked and then, he's got like that on me. He's a little humble. Yeah, he's a little taller than me. And he goes, so then he's like, oh my God, I'm not going to initiate it. And then he sees someone pass stool in the field. I can tell my guru I found something lower. I said, well, not really, because that will disintegrate and make fertilizer. I can't do that. Then he saw a worm. Ah, that's lower than me. He said, no, because that the worm is what makes the fertilizer. So, then he went back to his guru. He said, I cannot find anyone that's lower than me in every way. He said, okay, your name is? How many rounds you'll chant? So he sees the grass has value. The grass makes this beautiful straw houses, the carb houses, the it feeds the cows. Well, what service am I doing? And I complain every time someone steps on my toe, there's a drama. The grass just makes out. And the grass is so humble that if you look at a lawn, right, each blade of grass contributes to the effect, but no grass is saying, look at me. The straight grass, something like. So it said Trinadapi Kirtan means that you do kirtan, but it's not about you, it's about the effect. That's Trinadapi Kirtan, humble kirtan. And it's an internal quality, it cannot be faked. This indicates nishta. This is when you're fixed. When you're humble, you're fixed. This is the platform of nishta. Nishta in your chanting, kirtaniya, siddhahari, always chanting, and nishta in your behavior. Then it says, more tolerant than a tree. A tree is cut down, it doesn't say anything. It provides fruits and shade. It tolerates heat, summer, and it doesn't ask for anything. So like that, Haridas Thakur, when he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces for being a Hindu or a Krishna by the Muslims, he was praying, Krishna, be merciful upon these people so that they will not offend you by torturing me. It's maintaining that consciousness is the price you have to pay for that feeling in your heart when you chant the holy name. And it's not easy. Amanina Madhanena, offering all respects to others. I'll tell you a personal story. You know, the way envy works is we create our own worlds, right? You may not be envy of the gurus, but the disciples can be envy of each other. Or, you know, the brahmacharis are not envious of the sannyasis, but they're envious of the other brahmacharis. So you tend to develop categories. And the people you're envious with are the people that are most equal to you. So I remember, I just saw this envy came in my heart for somebody else, you know, like this competition and this feeling. And I was just saying, so at that time I was in Puri and I was chanting, Jagannath Puri, and I was chanting a lot of rounds. And then in between each round, I chant the verse. And when I say offer all respects to others, I would offer my mind to him. So this is a verse that was in a commentary. I'm going to read that to illustrate what this means. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, the outcasts, cows, and asses, falling on the ground like a rod. That's like the Uddhava Gita. Purport. One should practice seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead within all creatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all devotees to consider themselves lower than a blade of grass and to be more tolerant than a tree. In such a humble position, one will not be disturbed in the execution of devotional service. Another verse. Until one has fully developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process with the activity of his speech, mind, and body. Purport. Until one fully realizes the Supreme Lord within all beings, he should continue the process of offering obeisances to all creatures. Although one may not be able to, actually fall on the ground before all activity, all creatures, at least within his mind or his words, one should offer respect to all living beings. This will accelerate the devotee's self-realization. I know when I'm in Radhakund, there's one simple sadhu. He just goes and pays obeisances to everyone. Raghunath Das Goswami used to pay 1,000 obeisances. And it's not just a physical activity. The consciousness is, it's the item of padasevanam, one of the humble services. I am inferior. So anyway, this gives nishtha. Faith deepens, the heart becomes purer, and one adopts this consciousness. And the ultimate bhav, the ultimate prem, is total humility. And I'll tell one story about that, and then we have a few times for questions. Rati, you can tell them they can start offering the prasad, okay? So I had one godbrother, and that godbrother, he became the personal assistant when Prabhupada left of another godbrother who is very exalted, named Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj. It's like this, Prabhupada actually asked this godbrother to be the head of ISKCON at one time. And he's very, very learned and very, very humble. So I was visiting, and if any of you are invited to Vrindavan, when I'm there, I'll take you there. My friend has a little farm, and it's only 10 minutes from the temple. He has a temple and a farm. And he lives the life, like of a real. So he doesn't have much technology, but he, you know, he does have a computer and he has some videos. So he wanted to show me a video, and this godbrother was the personal servant of Sridhar Maharaj for many years. That was over 30, 35 years ago. So he showed me this one video. He said, you want to see it, of Sridhar Maharaj. And the video was called Ujjvala Nilamani. And I was kind of interested because studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, there's one part in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu which describes how Madhurya Ras, conjugal love, is formed by different emotions in bhakti, on a high platform. And it's a very small section. I go, why is it so small? This is the essence of our thing. Because he writes a whole book on that. And that's called Ujjvala Nilamani. So it describes all the different gopis, what are their moods, what is this, what are the feelings, what are their actions. It's very elaborate. I said, okay, I'm going to see this. To see the higher stuff. I have like part Russian. My parents are Russian, so I also got that. I want to go to Radhakund. I want to go to Radhakund. Ah. So it's like in me a little. So the higher stuff. I'm going to see the higher stuff. So what happens is it begins where this saint says, Ujjvala Nilamani, I have never read the book. He said that very humbly. Bhakti Siddhanta would not delve in these things. So then, as he's talking, he begins to describe, this is very interesting, an experience he had. And I understood from his language, but you wouldn't understand unless you knew the Sanskrit translation of the English words he's using, that he was describing the moment of enlightenment in bhakti. Because he said, and then there was a descent of transcendental knowledge. So what is the translation of transcendental knowledge? It is Divya Gyan. And what is Divya Gyan? Divya Gyan means transcendental knowledge, but Gyan doesn't just mean knowledge, it means consciousness. So it's transcendental consciousness. And that's the point in one's practices of bhakti where one's desire for the absolute truth and to serve God is so high. And you loved, I wrote that, Gail, what is bhakti? I spoke about that. And you and Mahamuni, you Gyanis, you both wrote me appreciations that, wow, this is really clear. So that moment, then God's bhakti energy energizes your consciousness, right? It's a moment. You achieve bhava. You achieve the goal and you're overwhelmed. But he described it in this way. He said, I was the subject and everything was the object. That's material consciousness. I am the center and everything's an object for me. He said, I was the subject, and that was the object. He said, then I became the object. So what does that mean? When you have bhakti, you don't see yourself in the center. You see God in the center, and you see yourself as an object of God. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he would take darshan of the deities in the temple, his room would go out in the temple room, his glasses were always off. So, well, why are your glasses, they say, off? He said, because I am not the seer, I am the seen. I go before the deities not to see or enjoy the deities, but for the deities to enjoy me and enjoy my love. So then he described that. Then I became the object. Then he said, then I was captured. What does captured mean? By love. Love means to want to follow and serve the desire of another. So you're captured because you're moving by someone else's desire. And that's the ultimate reality. It's the ultimate humility. That you're in love and you move by the desire of the Supreme Beloved. And when you do that, then the love flows. Okay, are there any questions?
Yes.
Who said what?
Yes.
Besides Gail... What? Okay.
Who's the godbrother you're talking about?
What?
As the farm and was a servant of Sri Rama.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Prem Kishore. Okay. You know Prem Kishore?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was sannyas.
Okay.
He got sannyas. And then he realized it was artificial. It was a story he told me how Sridhar Maharaj, just, you know, allow him to leave sannyas and go on. Now he has his son who runs the MVD. Sham, he has three sons. Yeah. Okay, Gail? Yes.
I have two.
Okay. But I may wish you had become a Catholic, but that's another story. Okay.
Yeah. This tolerant part of the verse.
Yeah.
We're also not to be doormats. That's one thing.
But right,
not
okay.
To be doormats.
Okay, you're not to be doormats.
And also, doesn't tolerance, what I should do to be tolerant might be different from what somebody else should do to be tolerant, depending upon what my level of...
Yeah.
My nature.
Yeah, there's so many things, but I guess tolerance is not to unnecessarily react to the change of the environment, even not to unnecessarily react to people's dealings with you. So I guess we can define unnecessarily, and maybe people have different requirements, for their own psychological health. But that kind of concept of tolerance, of understanding everything's moving by God's will, everything is God's mercy, not the reaction of who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? And so, there may be some reaction. But, yeah, and humility is not just to surrender to any crazy person. It means you're surrendering to the truth and those who embody it, not just some whim. And then there may be an authority that one is under and we're following to the degree that we're not starved because we respect a particular social system or family or something like that. Yeah, so there are limits.
What was that about the last part you said about social limits and...
Well, you may be in a social situation. You may be in a family, mm-hmm. Right? And you may have to tolerate sometimes things that are not right, right, to a certain limit that you're not starved, you die. But, you may have to tolerate. Maybe, you're in a family and there's a elder that's in charge of the family. He may not always be reasonable. He may be sometimes, it's not that you jump ship. You may even have to, you may even have to tolerate some things that are not so good. According to a social situation, not just an individual situation.
Yeah, so it just seems like it can be very tricky.
Very what?
Tricky, trying to understand what you should.
Yeah, but err on the side of tolerance. Okay, one question again, and then we'll go back to the other.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people when they try to conceptualize God, they say, "Well, if God existed, then why would suffering exist?"
Yeah.
And so it's like you see yourself as being attacked on some level.
Right.
So would you say that accepting tapasya, or accepting your own suffering as a form of receiving understanding, that is a form of humility?
Well, I mean, if we have the, if humility means, and I hate to use this word because it projects in so many ways, humility means to accept authority. It means, knowledge above you and the people who represent it, and therefore accepting that you're not a supreme controller and ruler, then it'll manifest in different ways. And one of the ways it'll manifest when yourself, well, when the authority, which is God, it comes on your head, I guess... One of the symptoms of surrender, Sharanagati, is that God is protecting you. And protection means you're confident that he'll do what's best. And we're tested all the time. And I'm not, Gail's question is good. We have different requirements. We do require a little self-esteem, and sometimes we have to put our foot down. Is it the highest? No, but maybe it's what I require in this circumstance. But let me temper it with the philosophy so that maybe I protect myself psychologically or even physically, but it's tempered with that kind of understanding. it comes from a different platform than just, you know, who do you think I am? No, I'm a servant of Krishna, and this is who, and this is, and this servant of Krishna requires lay off. Humbly, Gail, humbly. Okay, that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Gail?
Yeah, going back to, you know, when you were discussing the loving relationship between mother and child, parent and child.
Yeah.
Seen from two different, you know, vantage points.
Yeah.
And so I remember years ago I had asked you about, you know, because I you know, I like, in my very contaminated state, I like the feeling of being, you know, that the child end of it, you know, and Krishna being the...
Yeah.
But you said that that's Dwarka, you know, where Krishna's... the father and the child.
Oh.
So
there's nothing. There's different flavors of love, right? There's different flavors of love, right? One is you are my master. No, it's not necessary. You know, one is, you know, you are my master, you are my friend, you are my lover, you are my child. Mm-hmm. So there's different relationships. The relationship, you're my child, you're my friend, you're my lover. It's more forceful because there's no obligation or duty. When you deal with a superior, there's obligation or duty. So that kind of love is very forceful, and that's what Vrindavan means. But even in Vrindavan, there's different types of friends. And one friend is Sukha. One is Surit, where you're actually Krishna's well-wisher. You know, you're like you're the older brother. And another one, I think, is just Sukha, just friend, means, you know, he's a little bit superior to you. So these relationships are mixed with different feelings. But ultimately, if one wants to worship God and have that relationship, if you are my master, you are my protector, then that's ultimately Vaikuntha and Dwarka.
Sounded like you were advocating that, you know, generally we
should be
having this attitude of I am happy small. You know?
Right, right.
So how is that different from...
Well, in any relationship, you're ruled by love. So it there's humility even in any relationship. Friendship, you know, if you really have love, you want to serve the other person's desire. So it's not dominance, it's not control. And even the parent, you know, with the parent, what happens when you get a parent? You're the big mother, but who's in the center of the world? The child. The child is completely the controller. The child wakes up, the mother wakes up. The child wants to feed, the mother feeds. The child wants to go to the bathroom, the mother cleans. So the mother is completely captured. Mother is a very big position of humility. You have to surrender to a child. A little kirtan?
I was just going to say, it seemed like when you were talking about it, the relationship, like if we see ourselves as a child and God is like the mother, that's more about subjugating the ego, right?
Yeah,
not, you weren't talking about like the rasa between...
I think that's good. That's a good example of it. Okay, just a little kirtan for the sandwich. Kartals? Drum? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
You can sing, okay?
Hare.
Is this okay for you, this pitch? Okay.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Bo, Hare Bo. Hey. Oh, hey, Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. No. Premanande, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada Ki Jai.